Do we have any more prayer requests? All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll. When we take communion, you're okay. Yeah, we'll give you the bread and the communion. You're all right. Don't worry about it. When we take communion, the thing about God, He wants you to be relaxed in His presence. He has never ever demanded perfection out of any one of you. And He wants us to discern the body of Christ. And He wants you to know that, you know, see, the Bible tells us that if we take this bread and this blood, this body and the blood unworthily, we bring damnation to ourselves. What that means is if we don't discern the body of Christ, we're not going to get the benefits of it. Okay? So if you made a mistake yesterday, He doesn't want you to be in fear to take communion. You're not going to take damnation to yourself. No. Jesus paid the price for your sins on the cross. Okay? God wants you to be relaxed. So what we do is we see this body. And we see what He did in His sacrifice for us. We know that by His stripes we were healed. If you look at this bread, you'll see there are stripes in this bread. And this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. Also, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And everywhere He shed blood, we get redemption in some area. This is a biggie. If you look, this bread is slightly burned. That means when Jesus was on that cross, He took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us, He took it on Himself. He paid the price for us. All of it. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus, that blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been released. Ever. There's nothing that has ever been stronger than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus did things that no man could ever, ever devise a way to do. Number one, it washed away all of our sins. The minute you got born again, your sins were washed away. It made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness means you are in right standing with God. I like to take those real religious sounding words and tear them down and make them where it makes sense. Now, whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus, and now you're in right standing with Him. Praise God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You should tell yourself that once in a while. You're not being in pride. You're being biblically correct. Also, This blood of Jesus gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. That means when we make a mistake, we can go straight to the Father and ask for help. Don't try to clean yourself up and then go to the Father. Go to the Father and let Him clean you up. He's the only one that can do it. This blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus protects us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. How many of you thought we had a mean God before you learned the truth? I thought maybe he had some kind of a chalkboard and he was just counting my strikes. And then eventually one day I was going to take one step too far. Thank God I learned the truth. That God's on my side. That Jesus is on my side. They want me to win. They want me to prosper. They want me to be healed. They want me to be whole. They want me well. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And we're going to talk about, we're going to go on a really, really cool adventure. And this is absolutely one of the funnest things. If you'll let yourself participate in it, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. If you'll let yourself participate in this adventure, I mean, you may have to throw some doctrine to the side. You may have to throw some beliefs to the side. But this is what the Bible says. And this drives a lot of people crazy. I have had, I don't know how many times I've had preachers tell me, all of your tithe goes to the church. Right here. All of it. You want to know the fastest way to get me to putting money somewhere else is tell me where I have to put it. And then complain about the way I do it. Now, of course, you do need to support your local church. You know, but here's the thing. The local church is the body of Christ. Did you know that? The body of Christ. Well, we're going to make sure that we're squared up here on everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Remember, I tell you all the time, it's got to be all about Him. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's not the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty may be made rich." How do we get prospered? By grace, through the cross, through His sacrifice. I don't know how many times I've been told that if you put your money in the tithes and offerings bucket, you're going to get prospered. If you give this, you're going to get prospered. I'm prospered because of the cross. That way I have something to give. So we got that cat out of the box. See, one way is grace, and one way is works. And I've done it both ways, and I know they both work. You know, I got so pointy-headed about it that I heard a teaching that said, you got to take that tithe, that 10%. You don't even put that in your own bank account. right? Because you got it with that filed money. And so I was taking it. I cashed my check. I take that 10%, put it in a little box. Take my other 10%, put it in a box, keep it all separate. Because I didn't want it to be all messed up. I wanted to be blessed. You know? Well, I had an open heart to receive the blessing of God. But there's a better way. There's a better way. Believe in the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ and know that He became poor so that you, through His poverty, might be made rich. The grace way of things is so much better. The blessings that come by grace, that come from Jesus, are so absolutely beyond measure and so more amazing than anything that you can work out on your own efforts. Always keep this at the forefront of your thinking. If it does not lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, stop. Do you know that we don't have any problem saying that we're saved by grace? Does anybody have any problem saying we're saved by grace? No. Does anybody have any problem saying that we're healed by grace? Does anybody have any problem saying that we are delivered by grace? A lot of people have a problem saying that we're prospered by grace. They say, no, I'm a tither. That's why I'm prospered. No, you have money to tithe with because of His grace. Amen? It's by His grace that He gives you seed to sow. Okay, now we're going to get into this adventure called creative love giving. And this is not something that I just stumbled across. This is something that I actually figured out living and actually getting freedom from it. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 22. The first thing I want you to understand is it's impossible for you to outgive God. He's always going to have more seed. He's always going to have more for you to give. You're not going to run out. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. This is Jesus talking, by the way. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek also offer the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love your enemies and do good. Lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Learn to love giving. Give by love. This, what I just read to you, has really, I've been living that this past week here. See, there was a lady in town that used to hate me without reservation. I don't know why, but she hated me from the first time I seen her. And she was mean. I mean, she'd come in when I worked at Higginbotham, she'd come into the store. I mean, she would be on the fight. And she just hated me. And she let me know it. And then she had a change of life. Things happened in her life and changed. And I ran into her in the hospital or in the post office the other day. And she was having a really hard time. And she was dizzy, and so I grabbed her by the arm and I said, "Let me help you get your mail." And I helped her get her mail and helped her get back to the car, and she told me what was going on. She actually called me that evening and said, "I just want you to know how thankful I am that you were there. I definitely needed your help, and I'm going to be praying for you. Love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you." You know, sometimes we end up praying for people that it really grinds us sideways to have to pray for them. You know, pray for your president. That grinds me sideways. But here's the thing. There's blessings attached to all of this stuff. What I want you to look at is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Give shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." Men. Did you notice that? It said, "Give shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men." It didn't say God, it said men. Now, I know that it's coming from God. Here's the thing. God gives you something to give so that you can give something away. Now, it gets taught too many times, you got to give something so that God can give you something. God gives you something so you have something to give. Amen? Now, if you take what God has given you and give that, He blesses it back. See, get it in the right order. Get it in the right order. In creative loving giving, there's a lot of ways, a lot of different people, a lot of different ways to give, a lot of different things that you can do. This will free you up. And it's exciting. And you don't really know, you know, after you spread, you know, the Bible says you put that bread out on the waters, pretty soon it comes back on every wave. You don't really know what seed you sowed to get that blessing to come in at that particular time. I had one guy, he said he writes every time he sows something so he can keep track of what seed caused that harvest. And I thought, man, I'm going to keep it simple. I need things to be simple. You know, God made this simple for us. He made it easy for us. Man makes it hard. Have you noticed that people make things harder than what they need to be? Now, let's go over to the Old Testament and look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. "Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Okay, now, I've practiced both of those verses. Malachi chapter 3:10, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And I practiced them with all my heart. And I've had success with both of them. But I want you to know the best way is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Receive from God so you have something to give. You know, that's what happened to Abraham. You know, God made Abraham a very wealthy man before Abraham ever gave to Melchizedek. Did you know that? God made him a very wealthy man. Now, this makes a lot of people mad, and I don't care. God blesses you so that you have something to bless with. Amen? Don't get it. Don't try to get it in reverse. Don't try to be a blessing so that God will bless you, because then it's about you and not about him. Let God bless you. Receive from God so that you have something to give. And then he can give some more. Amen? But our attitudes and our heart have to be right. We're not going to twist God's arm into doing something for us. Did you know that? He said he would be a debtor to no man. He owes us nothing. But he's freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. That verse 10 in Malachi says, you robbed tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You can't believe the preachers that I made mad. Sometimes I do it on purpose. Because I know that I don't qualify for the curse of the law. You know why? Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That means I'm not attached to the law. That means if I don't do things according to the law, it doesn't matter. I'll give when I give, where I give, how much I give, and to who I give, and it's between me and God and not some preacher. See, every one of us has to purpose in our hearts. We have to ask God, say, what do you want me to do with this? Where do you want this to go? You'll hear about some of these adventures that I learned in practice, not just something that I heard about, not just something somebody told me about. You're going to have some firsthand experience. Let's look at in Malachi. He said God would open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing on you. So much that you can't take it all in. Don't limit God on how much he can give you. See, sometimes people take scriptures out of context. And I had a lady one time tell me, said, if you give, God will give you sometimes a 100-fold increase. 60-fold increase, 30-fold increase on your giving. And he wasn't talking about money in that verse. He's talking about increase on his word. Why would you limit God to 100-fold? You know what a fold is? These women wore these aprons. And they'd take that apron when they were out in the garden picking whatever they was picking. They'd take that apron, fold it up, and fill that up. And that's how they carried their produce to wherever they had to take it. That was a fold. Why would you limit God to that? It made her mad. Made her mad. Because that's what she was taught in some Word of Faith church. Don't limit God on how much you can receive. See, a lot of people running around, they have this checkbook with these signed checks. Jesus signed his name to these checks. And they're running around filling them in for $5. Why not just let him pour that blessing out on you? Then you have more to give. You can be available to more people. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that has pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. Now, this is talking about alms. See, we can give tithes, we can give offerings, we can give alms. And the thing about alms is God repays that to you right away. To have the opportunity of lending to the Lord is a great privilege in life, and yet few take advantage of it. What would you do if God asked you, or the Lord asked you, for $100? I bet we'd be digging around trying to find $100 to give to him, wouldn't we? Huh? But yet, he says, he that has pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. How many times have somebody who was poor came up to you and asked you for $10 and you just kind of shrugged them off? You shrugged off God. Now I know there's hustlers out there and there's scammers out there, but you can have discernment of spirit and find out what's what. But honestly, don't pass up an opportunity to lend unto the Lord. The poor we always have. And they're everywhere. So the opportunity is everywhere. And it's at all times present. Think of it. God himself becomes a debtor for everything given to the poor. How much will you advance God on this basis? God will pay it again, for in no case has he ever failed to do so. Honestly, there's opportunities to give absolutely everywhere. You ever take a trip to a distant city, you know, and you go to these gas stations and there's somebody there that said they need $20, they need $10, and for whatever reason, the reasons are just as many as there are people. They're broke down, they're hungry, they need gas, whatever. They're all out there. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's sacrificial giving too. You know, this is money that comes out of your pocket that you kind of need. It'll cause you some discomfort to part with. That's a sacrifice. But God is not mocked. I'm going to tell you a story. Before my wife and I came down here, we were living in Gillette, and I was working in the oil field. And every day there was this gas station that I go to, and I go in there and I get me a hot dog and a bottle of water and do whatever and go to work. Well, one day, you know, we were getting ready to come down here, and it was going to cost a lot of money. And so I had $500 saved up. So I go in there, and there's this guy. He said, "Hey, man, can I borrow $5 to get a hot dog or a burrito?" And I said, "Yeah." So here, get a couple of them. Have one for lunch. "No," I said, "no, that's all right." And I said, "Why? What's going on?" Because this was a boom town. There were jobs everywhere. And he said, "I lost my driver's license, and I got to get back to Oklahoma." I said, "Okay." So I'll buy him a couple burritos. So the next day I go in there, he's in there, he needs a couple more burritos. I said, "Well, you got to get home somehow." And he said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to walk." So, I mean, people hitchhike all the time. But in November, in Wyoming, that's not a good time to be hitchhiking. So I go there the next day, and I start hearing about this great big blizzard that's about ready to hit Cheyenne. And I know this guy's heading south. So anyway, I go to the gas station. He's not there. And I thought, man, I got to buy this guy a bus ticket. Well, that makes sense. I got $500 in my pocket, and I'm getting ready to move to Texas myself. So I go find this guy, and I buy him a bus ticket and get him on a bus so he doesn't freeze to death. Here's the key. God is your source, not people. God is your source, not people. So we go to church Saturday night to say goodbye to everybody. You know, we're pulling out and leaving. And didn't tell anybody about our finances whatsoever. We walked out of there with $15,000. That got us moved down here, got us set up. I'm just telling you, God's financial system is not like ours. We deal with percents. You know, like in the stock market, if you get 10% return on your investment, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty bad in the kingdom of God. He multiplies. He doesn't deal in percents, he deals in multiplication. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came here that we could have life and that we could have it more abundantly. Abundant life, healthy life, a prospered life, a free life, a strong life, the Zoe kind of life. You know, that kind of life where there's nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants you to have that. He wants you to be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that grows fruit all the time. This tree grows over the neighbor's fence so the neighbor can go over there and eat some of the fruit. I'm serious. There are too many people walking around saying, "I just want to make enough where I can pay my bills and feed my family." You know, that's pretty selfish. And they call it being humble. That's in pride. True biblical humility would be say, "I want to receive enough from God where I can be a blessing wherever I go, whenever I'm there, whoever I run into." You know, that's true biblical prosperity. That's what Jesus operated in. everywhere Jesus went, he had what it took to meet the needs of the day. He had whatever it takes to set people free. He could feed multitudes with a sack lunch. You know, one time there was a widow woman, her son died, and they were having his funeral. They were walking down the street with him in the casket. And he told that boy to get up out of that casket. He came out of that casket. The Bible says that widows would have their sons restored back to them. That's true prosperity. True prosperity is not just being rich with money. Money's the baser form. That's the lowest form of prosperity we have. It's a needful thing. You know, you need money to buy food. You need money to buy gas. You need money to buy Bibles. You need money to spread the gospel. You know, it takes money to get stuff done. But that's the lowest form of prosperity we have. Unfortunately, it seems to be the most talked about form of prosperity there is. To some preachers, you'd think that money is the holy grail of the church. Look to Jesus. Everything has been met at the cross. All of it. Look to Jesus. Let him meet that need. Amen. Don't go out there trying to earn it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Whosoever shall give the drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Every time you give in the name of Jesus, to wherever you give it at, God keeps track of that. And he multiplies that back. Even little things. You know, sometimes people get focused on hitting the home run. I'm going to give all this into this ministry. I'm going to hit one over the park. And then they wonder why they didn't hit one over the park. Look, we got opportunities to give everywhere, and I want you to know something. You know, Jesus seen a widow woman put one little mite in the offering plate, and some people were judging her, said that ain't nothing. He said that's everything she had. She actually gave more than they did. They were giving out of what they had. She was giving what she couldn't afford to give. Sometimes people don't realize this. To some people, $100 isn't much. I'm going to tell you something. To some people, $100 is absolutely everything. Sometimes that $100 makes the difference on whether they eat six times during the week or three. Sometimes we need to try to put ourselves in other people's shoes and try to walk a mile in their shoes. Don't just say how you do it if it was you, but say, What would I do if I was in their position? Try to imagine what their position is. You know, one time somebody gave me $1,000. And I know to these people $1,000 was just small. But to me, at that time, it meant 4 new tires for my pickup, which was huge. Sometimes we need to have an attitude of mercy, lose the attitude of judgment, and have an attitude of mercy. You know, sometimes life happens to people. Sometimes people weave when they should have wobbled. Sometimes people made mistakes. You know, we don't know what happened in somebody's life to cause them to be where they're at. But if we can have mercy on them for a little bit, we may change the whole course of their life. Do you realize that a couple $100 can change the whole course of somebody's life? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. You know, we got opportunities to do good everywhere, all the time. We don't have to wait for Sunday. That's the attitude, though. That's the only place I can give is the church. You know, there's people everywhere, all the time. There's somebody that needs help all the time, somewhere. And here's a really big clue. I know it's a heavy revy to a lot of people, but they just won't receive, they won't accept. But it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You know, when somebody sees God do something good for them, they look up and they say, I thought He hated me. You know, there's people running around town that think the Christians don't like them. And in a lot of cases, they're true. And it shouldn't be that way. But there's a lot of people running around. The Christians are afraid of them. That shouldn't be. Does God protect you or not? Then don't be afraid to go into places and talk to people that need to know the gospel. Yeah, I know 2 people that got born again here in town before they died. That people were absolutely terrified to even go talk to them. They wouldn't even go deal. They wouldn't even go in the neighborhood. And then they both got born again. I know, because I was right there when they did. Is God with you or not? Don't be afraid to be good to somebody. Maybe they lived like a rat all their life. I don't know. You know, we don't know what happened to people. We don't know what happened to people to get them where they're at. But it's the goodness of God that can help them get out of that. And without the goodness of God, they're not going to get out of that. I got a really good piece of information for you. every one of you were in the same place as those guys that weren't born again until you did get born again. You were separated from God, aliens from the covenants of promise, and needed somebody to have mercy on you and tell you how to get out of that sad state. We've all been there. We may not have done some of the things some people done, but we've all been there. We've been without God at some point in our life. And somebody had mercy on us and told us about Him. Praise God. You better praise God. We got one more verse and we'll stop there. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. See, here's a sure way to no lack. Give to the poor. People don't understand this. God is not the same as people are. See, if I have $100 in my pocket and I give you 10, I gave that out of my supply. Now I've got 90. See, I'm on the supply and demand system. But if God gives you $100, He gave that out of His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, which is not the same. That means He's got another 100 for her, He's got 100 for her, He's got 100 for him, He's got 100 for you, He's got 100 for you. And it didn't put a dent in His supply. See, it doesn't even need to be replenished because it didn't take anything out. Now, if I give you $100, then I got to get it replenished from somewhere. But not Him. He's a never-ending, never-failing source of your supply. Notice, when people are up and things are going well, they're a little freer to give. And they're just kind of giving out of their excess. But here's the key. This is a ticket to success. When you're down and it's hard and giving is a sacrifice, that's when the big blessings are attached. A lot of people say, man, I better hang on to this. I'm going to tell you something. My pickup was broke down, and I was broke. I could afford to eat 3 days a week. So I had $50 in my pocket, and I had my macaroni and cheese and my hot dogs bought for the week. I was going to go to the coffee shop, check in on my way to work, and lo and behold, there's this little lady on this little scooter coming up there, and God said, give her $50. Well, that's what I had. Well, my part cost $1,500 for my pickup. Well, that makes sense. You need $1,500 to give away $50. So I gave her the $50, went on about my business. And this guy that was working on my pickup, he called me and he said, you know something? This guy walked into my shop and he said that he had this part that he didn't need anymore. He said, if I wanted it, I could just have it. And he said, it's the part for your pickup. So for free. I'm just telling you, God knows what's going on. He knows what you need. He knows what you have. He knows what's coming down your trail. You don't have any idea. You made plans and you got ideas and all this stuff. You don't really know much. In the whole scheme of things, you don't. God knows everything. The Holy Spirit knows everything. They got the course of your life planned out. If you'll just help a little bit, be a little bit cooperative, they'll make it work out good for you. And God's going to tell you things. And it's not always going to make sense. Not in our little human natural thinking and everything that we've been told and everything we've been taught and everything we think we know. You just will admit it. You don't really know much. Even if you got a PhD, you ain't all that smart. God knows everything. He knows where you're at. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He knows where they fell out. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what it takes to take care of you, and he knows how to get it to you. He just sometimes take the little we have and put it in God's hands. See, we know the cost and price of everything, but we don't know the value of much. See, when we... That $50, that could have bought me more macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. That's the price and the cost. I have no idea how much it changed that woman's life by giving her that $50 so she could get some groceries. That could have been a turning point in her life. I never seen her again. I never seen her before. I had been to that cafe hundreds of times. I'd never seen her before, and I'd never seen her after that. We have divine appointments that God puts in our place. When I put that $50 in his hands, it added value. It added value to what I had, and he multiplied it back. See what I'm saying? Not only will we get blessings from it, but it also helps people around us. See, we want to change the atmosphere around us. It's going to start with us. The kingdom of God is within us. We express that by outward expressions into other people's lives. See, being a Christian is not about judging somebody else. It's about reaching the hand of God out and helping somebody else out. Even those that hate us. Even those that despitefully use us. Even those that maybe... you never met before. Creative love giving is an exciting adventure. I invite you to join into it. It's absolutely beyond anything you could ever imagine. But remember, it all starts at the cross. You got to receive so you have something to give. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the cross of Christ. And Father, we thank you for the liberty that it has put us into. Father, we thank you for everything that our high priest, our Lord Jesus, does for us every day. As he lives to make intercession for us. I mean, he's praying for us so that we can be at the right place at the right time so that we can have right happenings happen to us. Father, ask us, show us how to be sensitive to your spirit so that we know how to participate in the events of life that you want us to participate in so that we can be useful in your kingdom, so that we can learn how to receive from you, so that we can have something to give to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have coffee and cake fellowship back here. Come on back and have some. All right, back here.